Welcome back. Fred Grandy filling in for Andy Parks this week. And here's a question I'll bet you've asked yourself a time or two. Where will the next strike by Al-Qaeda be? Well, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to wonder about that. You can actually go to a jihadist website that is apparently posting where the new threats are going to be. This from the Inside the Ring column from Bill Gertz, longtime reporter for the Times. Read his Inside the Ring column every week, and he joins us now. Bill, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Fred. Good to be on the show.
All right, so tell us about this website. Al-Qaeda is actually announcing where its future strikes are going to be?
Well, U.S. intelligence officials, you know, spend a lot of time and money combing the Internet for things like this. This particular website is a known Al-Qaeda website. It's reliably posted Al-Qaeda propaganda in the past.
Now, this is Ansar al-Mujahideen that you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, and therefore it carries a little bit more credibility than just somebody out in the Internet universe. And it was fairly specific. It appears, according to U.S. officials, to be a response to the French-led military operations in northern Mali, which are basically trying to mop up the movement of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb into that region.
So really what they're saying is because France went into the Maghreb, we may be going into France, we may be going into America. You even got Denmark in here. So this is they're talking about a whole-scale attack against various places in the West?
Yes, and the posting stated that we're not going to tell you exactly where and when, but we're telling you that they're coming, and that was kind of the message.
And how seriously do counterterrorism officials take this kind of information, Bill?
Well, I quoted a U.S. official who is involved in counterterrorism work saying that, you know, this is not something that is considered actionable intelligence, but anything that's posted on this Al-Qaeda website has to be taken seriously. So they are taking it with some degree of seriousness.
Is there any kind of history to this? I mean, are there any of the attacks that actually did occur that were forewarned or posted on a website before?
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that. I went to a speech last week by Vice Admiral Mike McConnell, the former head of the National Security Agency and also the former DNI. And he was categorical in saying that U.S. intelligence failed on 9/11. He said the intelligence was there. It was just missed. I was the first time I've heard anyone from that level of an intelligence background come out and say that, you know, it was there. So whether they have other intelligence that could say attacks are coming, I haven't seen any indication of that. But anytime you have a threat like that, like I say, you have to take it seriously. Al-Qaeda's been hit hard. We've got bin Laden. Al-Zawahiri is still out there, and they're still considered very dangerous. And they've been making inroads, especially into North Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. And you know, recent testimony says that they're still contemplating attacks on the U.S. homeland, especially Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. That remains a very serious threat.
You know, this may sound a little flippant, but I've always kind of thought of Osama bin Laden as kind of the Colonel Sanders of terrorism, because he's gone, but his franchises keep proliferating in northern Africa and elsewhere, whether it's Al-Qaeda or Ansar al-Sharia or Ansar Deen, any of these things. It seems as though they're getting stronger and locating in more places than shuttering up and shutting down.
Yes, and you know, the officials that I've talked to are very concerned about the spread of Al-Qaeda and the strengthening of Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same kind of strength that they had in the past, where they had a militant organization that was very structured with things. It's more diffuse, but it's still very dangerous, and it's still out there. Especially in North Africa, we're seeing them move into Libya. We're seeing them move into Egypt under the Muslim Brotherhood regime. We're seeing signs that they're also moving into the rebels in Syria.
Yes.
So it's definitely a bigger problem than has been anticipated. And I noticed that the White House, including the president, has backed off of the convention nomination speech where he said Al-Qaeda was on the path to defeat. Now they're caveating that a little bit more, and they're saying, well, Al-Qaeda has been decimated or been damaged there, but They're not saying they're on the path to defeat anymore.
No, and Hillary pretty much said the same thing when she was trying to exonerate herself from Benghazi. All right, let me turn quickly. Obviously, you've been following the Hagel hearing, as have we,
yep.
And you've got a piece in your Inside the Ring column about some of the longtime military officers and leaders that are opposed to Senator Hagel, Ace Lyons, former Pacific Fleet commander, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Delta Force commander. Is that having much impact in these hearings, do you think?
Well, you know, every little bit helps. You know, I also mentioned that there was a group of retired admirals and generals who came out in favor of,
right.
Of Hagel as well. So I thought it was interesting that the military, which tends to shun political battles, you know, is coming out on both sides of the issue, and I think that's significant. I think it's important too. They feel strong enough that this person, Chuck Hagel, is either not the right person or the right person. But it's unusual to see that kind of retired military chorus on both sides of the issue.
You know, as a corollary to this, I just happened this morning as I was preparing this show to be looking at C-SPAN, and before the hearings began, there was one of these usual call-in shows on C-SPAN, and there were more than a few enlisted guys that called in with very strong support for Hagel because they were pleased that the Pentagon was going to be run by an enlisted guy and not an officer. I'm just wondering if there is, I don't know how to describe this, a kind of lower rank popular support for Chuck Hagel that we've perhaps not factored in.
I think it's a very, very serious problem. And this came out during the hearing that Hagel said the number one priority for him as the defense secretary would be taking care of the troops. And I know a number of military people who took issue with that. They said that's not the main priority. The main priority is getting the mission done. In wartime, that's killing more of the enemy until he wants to surrender or gives up the fight. You know, you always, of course, want to take care of your troops, but that's not the main objective in war. And so clearly, Hagel comes from the kind of Vietnam anti-war veterans community that brings with him this notion that if we just take care of the troops, everything's going to be fine. That's not what, you know, the U.S. military is for. They have global missions. They have to deter conflicts. They have to maintain stability. They have to maintain freedom of navigation, especially in the Asia Pacific. So it's clear to me that Hagel is, it confirms my theory that it's not just liberal Democrats that have what Gene Kirkpatrick called the blame America first syndrome. There's even actual liberal Republicans that are also adherence to that view.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds very much when he's talking about, you know, maintaining the troops, almost a campaign speech. But you're right. I mean, this guy is in charge of the mission, not just necessarily
right.
the mess hall. But I'm also wondering, because your next item here is about, and he is now our Secretary of State designate, John Kerry, telling I suppose his colleagues, now that he's confirmed, that he's looking to seek more executive agreements for future arms control deals. Now, whether or not you're for or against arms control deals, I draw a deep breath when I see, well, we're going to use more executive agreements and bypass or end run around the Congress. And I'm surprised there aren't more senators stepping up and say, what the hell are you talking about? We've got a say in this as well.
Exactly. It's a very serious issue because it was clear from the testimony by Kerry that he had been prepared to answer this question. And the question was answered in a way that said, yes, we may use executive agreements. It was, of course, he said, oh, the president would never seek to, circumvent the Constitution. Well, you know, he's already been doing that in a lot of ways, according to his critics, on gun control and other issues. This is a president that believes in executive power, and if the Congress doesn't like it, it's up to them to try and stop it. So I think that this is going to be a big issue in the coming months as the administration seeks additional arms talks with the Russians. There's also a nuclear posture review implementation study, which is going to call for deep cuts in our nuclear forces. So we're going to see this as a major fight in the coming weeks.
All right. And finally, I couldn't help noticing that Hagel is talking about Fort Hood, at least in his testimony. And one of the things that really sticks in my craw is that because Nidal Hassan was guilty of workplace violence and not an act of terrorism or at least assault on a military institution, the people that tried to defend themselves and were killed are not eligible for a Purple Heart. Any speculation on whether Secretary Hagel would award Purple Hearts to those people that were killed or wounded?
No, I think he won't. I think and the item that I had in the Inside the Ring column was taken from his written answers to questions, where he basically was asked, will you review the findings of a review panel that said that we are unable to find indicators of radicalization by Muslims and others? He said he would review it, but I'm not optimistic, because in the next part of it, he said that when asked about Fort Hood, he expressed concern that Muslims would be persecuted because of the Fort Hood shooting by the suspect, Major Nidal Hassan.
Same melody, same lyrics. We're going to have to leave it there, Bill. Great column today. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.